This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on malaria control, achievements, and the ongoing effort against vector-borne diseases. The participants are Dr. Tanu Jain, Director, National Center for Vector-Borne Diseases Control, and Dr. Jayant Panda, Professor Medicine, SCB Medical College and Hospital, Cuttack. Moderator is Niharika Bhuvania.
Good evening and welcome to the program Current Affairs. You're with me, Niharika, and today happens to be World Malaria Day, a global initiative organized by the World Health Organization to raise awareness about malaria and promote actions to control, prevent, and ultimately eliminate the disease. And to help us refine our understanding of the subject, we are joined by Dr. Tanu Jain, Director, National Center for Vector-Borne Diseases Control. Good evening, Dr. Tanu. Thank you so much for joining us in the studios of Akashvani.
Good evening and thank you.
So let's begin with the most basic question. What was the motive behind World Malaria Day? I understand that it was started in 2007 by the 60th session of the World Health Assembly.
Whenever we celebrate any days like World Malaria Day or any other day which is related to any event or health condition, the motive is always to take care of those health events which are highly endemic in the country, which are causing a lot of morbidity and mortality, means loss to life, and lot of sick days. So malaria was actually a very problematic and a major public health challenge in the world. And especially the African countries and the Southeast Asia was heavily infested by malaria at that time. So keeping in view that we will have our further goals to eliminate malaria from the country and from the world, this day was started to ensure that we are able to eliminate this disease from the world.
Understood. And the theme for this year happens to be very interesting. So there are three things that come up: reinvest, reimagine, and reignite, as also the slogan, "It ends with us." So would you like to talk about those?
Yeah, sure. So I think before I say it ends with us, I would like to say it starts with us. Because what is the cause of malaria? It is a bite of a female Anopheles mosquito. And if there is mosquitoes which are breeding all around us, then it starts with us. Who's responsible for that mosquito breeding? We are responsible as citizens of a country. So it starts with us and it will end with us means if we make all the efforts, we cannot just let government make all the efforts. We as individual citizens of the country can make that effort to keep our surroundings clean, take health in our hand and feel responsible for a healthy nation and a healthy human being. So that is why I think this theme is very relevant, that we are urging people to take things in their hands and be aware that this disease can be controlled if we look after the breeding sites around us, like stagnant water where the maximum breeding occurs, and we take care of cleanliness in and around our house and in our cities. Also, we do take care of our personal protection measures, such as we sleep under insect bed nets. We also take care of wearing full clothes and protecting our loved ones from such a deadly disease. And what has happened in India over a period of time is that it has become a very heterogeneous kind of a picture in the country. So there are almost 103 districts where we have zero cases, but there are other districts which are having a very high load of malaria. There are around 37 districts which we call as very, very highly endemic zones in the country. So because of that heterogeneity, also from the places from where malaria has reduced, now people are thinking it is gone and they are careless and therefore they are not taking that much precautions. So that is why it is said that reinvest, reimagine and reignite.
Understood. So what comes out of this is that certain geographies and certain sections of the population might be a little more vulnerable than the others, given the different load that different regions are experiencing at the moment, right? So would you like to talk to us about which geographies might be more vulnerable to this disease?
Yes, absolutely.
And also the role of climate change in these changing times.
Yes, yes. So if we look at the vulnerability, it is mostly those areas which are hilly, forested, which have a tropical type of a climate, that is the rainfall is quite high in those areas. So in our country, it is the northeastern states. Then the other states like Jharkhand, Orissa, Bihar, Madhya Pradesh. So these are the states which are very much prone to having high malaria incidence. Whereas this northern part of the country and starting from the top, like Ladakh, Jammu Kashmir, they are colder regions where mosquito breeding is not that much prevalent. So that is why they are having a low load of malaria incidence over there. So this is the heterogeneity. And within the state also, there are certain districts where the cases are very low, but in the same state, the caseload is very high in the other districts. And climate change, yes, it has played a role, because if the temperature goes up, then the development of the mosquito from egg to adult, it shortens. Then the biting habitats of the mosquito change. They are more rampant biting. So because of the climatic change which is happening, the disease is also seen throughout the year. So it is not confined to the monsoon and the post-monsoon season. Sometimes we are getting the cases throughout the year. It is becoming perennial rather than seasonal. But for malaria, we are very fortunate to have a very good drug and diagnostic regimen which is available with us. So not much effect of climate change is seen for malaria, but I would not say the same for dengue. Dengue, maybe we are experiencing more trouble because of the climate change which is happening.
I will get to the initiatives and the drug control a little later, but there's another question. So what about coastal areas, and what about areas near the sea or near water bodies?
Yes.
How do they fare in terms of this disease?
So if we'll talk about coastal area like Goa, so recently Goa, the program implementation has been excellent. So what I talked about was that, see, there are different strategies. So one of the very important strategy is early diagnosis and treatment. So whichever states followed that strategy, whether coastal, like Puducherry is another coastal area. So they have been able to really bring down their cases to zero because of the very good strategy which the program has. So the strategy is to test, treat, and then follow up. So this is extremely important for any state or any physicians or clinics or hospitals to ensure that the patient is diagnosed in time and treated. And that breaks the transmission cycle. Because if the mosquitoes will bite, they will not be getting the protozoa which is causing malaria, the parasite which is causing malaria, which is P. falciparum or P. vivax in our country.
Then on that note, we're joined by Dr. Jayant Panda, Professor, Medicine, SCB Medical College and Hospital, Cuttack. Good evening, Dr. Jayant, and thank you so much for joining us on Current Affairs. I hope you're well this evening.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
So would you briefly want to talk to us about the initiatives that Odisha has taken to curb this disease?
I'll tell the story of Odisha in last 25 years. Because I'm part of the malaria control program, I'm a professor of medicine at SCB Medical College and technical head of government of Odisha. Odisha, with 4% population of the country, is responsible for 80% incidence of falciparum malaria. And falciparum malaria has caused every second death in Odisha in the last 25 years, till 5 years back. All initiative by us, we wanted to control the infection, and it's the vector control which in majority helped us in the cases and the early diagnosis, the disease and the treatment. There are a few districts like Koraput, like Keonjhar, like Balangir, like Puri, like Ganjam. They are very endemic of the malaria, and even those who are not having fever, we get their malaria parasite positive in the blood examination. So almost 80-90% people were positive, even asymptomatic, and the cerebral malaria incidence or falciparum malaria incidence was maximum from these areas. So what happened? Government of Odisha took major steps in the vector control and also early diagnosis and treatment. So many CMEs and the medical education steps for treating even patients asymptomatic and early diagnosis of the disease took place in the rural belt, and the doctors working in the rural belt were asked to take up the issue very seriously. And ultimately what happened, 5 years back, we had a very low incidence of the problem, where the wards, medical wards, had almost no cases of severe malaria or falciparum malaria. Only occasional vivax malaria were reported, and people dying from the disease came down to 0.23% from almost 30 to 35% earlier. So people were very happy, and Odisha was awarded by WHO, by the global authorities, by national authorities, and pre-COVID, we had achieved a big success in malaria control, which was a menace for Odisha for a long time. Today being Malaria Day, we are reviewing our situation. There is a 63% rise in the infection, and that's because failure in the mosquito control, vector control, and also delay in the diagnosis, because in the treatment of the fever, the differential diagnosis of cerebral malaria and the other malaria-related occasions were omitted. And people even didn't suspect in this time somebody coming with fever, we treated them as a heat stroke or heat hyperpyrexia or heat exertion rather than testing the blood for the malaria parasite. But I remember when I was a student, maybe 30, 40 years back, the message was any type of fever, you treat with chloroquine or antimalarials. In our school and college, we gave the message that any fever, you treat with chloroquine or antimalarials. But now, people are treated for viral infection, treated for other infection, and the malaria was delayed again to diagnose because we had a good control and good decrease in the case number. So now there is a resurgence or rollback of malaria, but we had achieved a good success by controlling the vector, by controlling the early infections and treating patients adequately and decreasing the incidence of malaria and the death rate very effectively. But regarding the vaccine, we don't have a vaccine till now. And the same scenario, like global or national scenario, malarial vaccine is not available for use for a common patient.
Right, Dr. Jayant. And I would just quickly like to go back to Dr. Tanu. So is the disease also categorized according to severity?
Yes, so it is. So we have something called as annual parasite incidence, which is the number of cases per 1,000 population, the positive cases. And according to that, we have categorized the states. And we have not only categorized the states, we have also categorized the districts. So if we look at the state categorization, presently there are almost 21 states which are in category 1. That means all their districts are having API of less than 1. But if we look at the category 2 states, there are 8 states currently in category 2. That means the state has API less than 1, but some of the districts, as I was telling you, it's pretty heterogeneous. Some of the districts are having API more than 1 also. And if we go to category 3, then all the districts are more than API 1, and that is why it is called as a category 3 state. And I think I heard Dr. Jayant talk about the Odisha example as well. I think I would like to just small response on that. What the World Health Day theme says, reinvest, reimagine and reignite. It also refers to this thing that once we take our attention away from this very old historic disease, it has a tendency to come back. So it is the oldest national health program, 1958 it was launched. And in the early 60s, it was thought that we will be able to eliminate malaria. The cases went down to an all-time low of 50,000 and zero deaths. But then because of, our attention was focused elsewhere, that there are other problems which are causing this health issues in our country. So all the resources, all the attention had gone back. And as soon as we shift our attention to anything, it easily comes back because the vector is there, the parasite is there, and the human beings with their behaviors, because behaviors are extremely, extremely important. We, as a civilian and a responsible human being, we should be responsible for our own health, and we need to understand, empower ourselves with the tools which will help us to take care of our health. So if we know that dengue, malaria, chikungunya, even other diseases like kalazar, lymphatic filariasis, upcoming diseases like Zika, they are all caused by mosquito bite. So we should take care that the mosquito breeding is not there and take care of our personal protective measures. So that is very important.
In fact, that was going to be my next question. I will just get to it in a little while. I'll also talk about the government initiatives that are in place at the moment. Dr. Jayant, I would like to bring you in once more. So very quickly, you mentioned that there is a chance of late diagnosis. You know, from a personal awareness point of view, what are some signs that a person who's been infected is likely to show early on? So that, you know, diagnosis becomes a little easier and personally we become more aware that there could be something wrong.
That's a very vital question that you have asked. Everybody should know about that. And here in the hilly area, in the malaria area, even a common man pronounces that. So any fever which doesn't persist all throughout, come occasionally, once in a while. Maybe today fever is there, tomorrow not there. And day after it comes again. So like a intermittent fever, classically it comes and goes. And every episode of fever is associated with a good chill. So rigor and good chill is what malaria is suspected. And because the people have seen malaria in their family and around, so they also suspect. And many of my patients, they come directly and report me. We have a lot of rigor or a lot of trembling, and maybe we'll test a malaria, or they test themselves going to the laboratory and come with the report. But classical symptom of fever which is not persistent, a rigor or a chill, and severe sweating, prostration. At times patient drenched in the sweat should give a clue of malaria, though the pattern of fever is changing. We have to know that the classical symptom itself should give us a clue. And in places where malaria is very common, though the classical symptom is not there, a case of fever should be screened, and testing a immunological test for malaria or a six smear for malaria should be part of investigation for every patient of fever who is not responding well or beyond 1 week. So that's what I'll tell in the symptom of this dreaded disease.
Right. And does it also affect your appetite in a certain way? So that could also be one sign of early diagnosis.
Yeah. And there will be loss of appetite. But any kind of fever the person is having, maybe it's a viral fever or dengue fever or urinary tract infections, or a patient with other causes of fever, general loss of appetite remains. So it's not a very specific symptom. But if it is associated, we can take it as with a pinch of salt. And many people in the endemic areas even come with a history of somebody palpated in their abdomen or stomach. So that's a splenomegaly, and they have a chronic malaria with a spleen enlarged. And at times, they require prophylaxis and drugs like proguanil for that symptoms. So even at home, the non-technical people suspect, and the related problems are this. But fever is such a common symptom, I'll suggest a early screening for the infection, and we should go for detection of the parasite.
Absolutely. That's what they say, right? Prevention is better than cure. So with that, let me come back to Dr. Tanu. So now speaking of government initiatives that are in place in terms of, you know, ensuring public health, what initiatives or what schemes does the government have to make the public aware as also to control this disease?
Yeah. So Government of India, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare has this institute under the Directorate General of Health Services, which is National Center for Vector-Borne Diseases Control. And it is totally dedicated to prevention, control and elimination of six vector-borne diseases. So six vector-borne diseases are three parasitic diseases, that is malaria, lymphatic filariasis and kalazar, which is also known as visceral leishmaniasis, and three viral diseases, dengue, chikungunya and Japanese encephalitis. So these are the six diseases we are looking into. So the first three diseases that I talked about, the parasitic diseases, so there is a target for elimination. So if we talk about Kalazar, the 2023 was our target. We achieved it, the elimination of Kalazar, and we have sustained it for 2 years. If we sustain it for another 1 or 2 years, like 2026, then we will be able to submit our dossier for elimination to WHO, and then country will be declared Kalazar free. Similarly, lymphatic filariasis, we have to bring down the microfilaria rate to less than 1% by 2027, and then sustain it for a period of 3 to 6 years. And there's a transmission assessment survey that happens, and then the dossier preparation is done, and we are certified lymphatic filariasis free. For malaria, it is zero cases. So it is a very tricky definition. And currently, we have around 2.5 lakh cases reported in the last 2 years. If you talk about a little bit of increase in the number of cases in the last 2 years, post-COVID especially. So post-COVID, what happened was that people were more worried about COVID than malaria. The cases of malaria went down a lot. And any fever in an endemic area is suspected of malaria. So the government ensures that our grassroots frontline workers like ASHA, ANM, whether they are at the PHC, CHC level or at the urban PHC, CHC level, they are having a rapid diagnostic kit. And the labs available at the PHC level, we have trained the microbiologists, the lab technicians over there, to make these thin slides for any fever case which is happening in the community. The patient doesn't even need to come to the hospital for that. The ASHA does her monthly rounds, and any fever case that she comes across in the community, she has to take this RDT kit. She has a rapid diagnostic kit which is provided free of cost from the central government procurement, and the states also buy it through the project implementation plan funds that the National Health Mission gives. And under the essential health packages also, malaria is one of the essential health package delivered under the 12 essential health packages in the Ayushman Arogya Mandir. Free of cost treatment, diagnosis and treatment is given. So we have the drugs, we have the diagnostics. So because of these measures also, we've had a big success in the program. And other measures are entomological surveillance, like we need to know where the vectors are breeding, how climate is affecting the vector breeding. And according to that, we do take care of whether we will need to do an indoor residual spray with the insecticide, or we will need to use the insecticide treated bed nets, which are not available off the counter or in the market, but they are reserved for those very high endemic areas where malaria causes a lot of mortality and morbidity. So these are the other measures that the Government of India is taking. Then we have currently developed an integrated health information platform under which all vector-borne diseases are captured online. So if a case is reported today, so near real-time reporting is happening. So if we know that in this area malaria cases have been reported and there is a clustering of cases, so immediately there's a deployment of rapid response teams which will go and test all the neighboring houses and see whether there are more positive cases, look at the sanitation and the vector breeding spots over there. So we do a larval source reduction and cleaning of those areas. And then if we diagnose more cases of malaria, then immediately they are treated. And treated means the complete treatment. So there are two types of malaria, as was told by Dr. Jayant also, Plasmodium falciparum and Plasmodium vivax. So if it is a vivax malaria, it is a 14 days treatment, and falciparum malaria, it is a 3 days treatment. So we ensure that treatment is completed. So these are some of the activities that I have told you. There are a lot many activities for which I think I will have to take a whole big session, but these are some of the activities which are done through Government of India, and this is all done free of cost.
Absolutely. I think we could have just another discussion as long or maybe longer talking about the initiatives that are in place. Before I go on to Dr. Jayant talking about the kinds of treatments available, so very quickly, you mentioned that malaria is a tricky disease because it tends to come back. So for better understanding, why is that?
So what happens is that if you start thinking that it is not there, like Dr. Jayant also said, then the clinicians, the doctors also stop suspecting. And when you don't diagnose in time, the patient is diagnosed late. If he is diagnosed after 2 or 3 days or 4 or 5 days, then we can, you know, he has been transmitting the infection in the community. And the vector is becoming infected. Mosquito is becoming infected. Then it can transmit further. And then what happens is that this disease, like the vector is quite efficient. So it can really, the female Anopheles mosquito can transmit the disease very quickly. And then it can spread through the bite of the mosquito. So if the mosquitoes are there, vector is there, and human beings are there, and the control measures are not in place, and people have forgotten that this disease needs that due attention, it has a tendency to come back. But currently in our country, that is why this WHO theme, again I'll come back to it, that reinvest into the resources. So do not dilute the resources, especially in the highly endemic zone. So if we go to, say, areas like where the cases have drastically come down, then it will be, we will see that, you know, the awareness amongst the people has gone down. And then there is migration, there is climate change, so vector behavior change. People from the high endemic areas move to the low endemic areas, and they can be a source of transmission. So we have to keep a constant vigil on this.
Absolutely. And one might not have thought that the disease has such a complex layer of factors involved. Right?
One of the most complex diseases is malaria.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And since we're almost approaching the end of this discussion, so would you want to quickly tell us about the kinds of treatments available?
Yes, surely. So I just told you about the two species that are prevalent in India, that is vivax and falciparin. Sometimes there's a mixed infection also. So we have very effective drugs to treat these things. I don't think in these forums we discuss the names of the drugs, because people have a tendency to take those drugs. But these are very traditional drugs, very safe drugs, and you should only take it on the prescription of your prescribing doctors. The only thing you can take to relieve your symptoms by yourself is only paracetamol. Maintain a good hydration, eat light food. But definitely if you're diagnosed with malaria, you please consult a doctor or a nearest healthcare facility, whether government or private, and do complete your treatment. So for P. vivax, I especially said that you have to complete your treatment, because after 3 to 4 days of medication, you start feeling good. And then you feel, why should I take any extra medication? I'm feeling good. But the vivax has a tendency of the parasite to hide in the liver. And if the treatment is not completed, then the cycle is repeated and there can be relapses of vivax malaria. Similarly, falciparum, if you leave the treatment midway, then it can go to the brain and cause cerebral malaria, which is a severe form of malaria. And in case it is, both the diseases are, you know, low parasitemia, which happens over a period of time, they can lead to anemia and other problems. So please follow the treatment guidelines that the doctors are giving you, and please complete your treatment. That is my request to all.
And any last advice to our listeners on the steps they should take on an individual level?
We all, as individuals and responsible citizens of the country, need to take all the steps that are required to make our country healthy and clean. And if we keep our surroundings clean, if we are, you know, putting mesh doors or windows in our houses and close it in the evening, because this mosquito will come out in the after the dusk is over and will bite at the night. So if you sleep with wearing full clothes under a mosquito net and you have mesh and there is no breeding inside or outside, any person who is diagnosed with malaria is treated promptly and quickly. It is a short duration treatment, even 14 days. Then I'm sure that we can definitely win against this disease and reach the goal of elimination, which is being envisaged for our country.
For sure. You know, like we discussed, it starts with us. It also ends with us. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio today, Dr. Tanu. And I would also like to thank Dr. Jayant for joining us via call. And with that, it's a wrap on today's episode of Current Affairs. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on malaria control, achievements, and the ongoing effort against vector-borne diseases. The participants were Dr. Tanu Jain, Director, National Center for Vector-Borne Diseases Control, and Dr. Jayant Panda, Professor, Medicine, SCB Medical College and Hospital, Cuttack. Moderator was Niharika Bhuvania. This program was produced and presented by the New Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.